We hope you enjoy this teaching brought to you by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe it will enrich and empower your life.
Yeah, there's always people who are the older brother voice, more experienced, been around longer. When I first got saved, Jonathan talked about back in the days in Penrith when I was a youth leader. There were a lot of people when I was made youth leader, older brother voices that were just jealous and mad. And who do you think you are, Steve, to lead us? We've been saved longer than you. Older brother voices that'll try to keep you small. Then there's the voice of the king, the voice of authority, that'll try and say, you're not able, you're too young. It's a funny thing. I don't know what happens in life, but I remember as a young man, and I still think I'm young. Amen. Age is an attitude. I remember as a young man saying things, Lynn, love me. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm believing God to do this. I'm believing God to do that. And it's a funny thing. People would say, you're too young. You're too young. And now I talk about what I'm believing God for, and people tell me, you're too old. You're too old. You're going to make room for the next generation. I don't know when my prime was. The voice of authority, the voice, too young. Then, of course, there's the voice of your enemy, which tells you, you disgust me. But David said, I'm taking your head off today, O Goliath. And tonight, I want to talk to you just for a little while, and then we're going to pray for people. I want to talk to you about the voice of heaven. The voice of heaven. Let's put it in the plural, and let's call it the voices of heaven. God's not a schizophrenic, but we do know that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all their voices affirm each other's voices. Amen. God speaks to us in the Old Testament through the Father heart of God. We see the work and the operation of the Holy Spirit as a momentary work, or not as an ongoing, abiding work. Holy Spirit comes on somebody, comes off somebody, comes on somebody, comes off somebody. Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And then, of course, we see in the New Testament the voice of God through the revealed Son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus goes on and says, now I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and He will guide you into all truth, and He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we see the Trinity working throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I want to just give you four simple voices, if you like, that come from heaven. Are you ready for this? And then we're going to pray for people. We're going to believe God for the voice of God to be loud and to be clear in our lives. Let me just start by saying, when I first gave my life to Jesus, I was 17 years of age. And I remember before that moment, let me tell you, I was one wild partying, drinking, clubbing, drugging kind of guy. I know that shocks you, and you could never see me being that kind of person. I know you're just in disbelief right now. Okay, that was supposed to be a moment to say, amen, Pastor. You just come across so clean and so pure. And so I'm telling you, and I remember I lived for parties. I lived to get drunk. I lived to do the most outlandish, crazy things. And I got to tell you, I just do all that now with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But I remember one of the biggest dilemmas I had was reading in the Bible that he or she that gets drunk in an ongoing, not that you should ever get drunk, but anybody can make a mistake. You with me here? But he who deliberately continues to live their life outside the counsel and the wisdom of God, that person has no place in the kingdom of heaven. I'll never forget what I did. I didn't know what to do. I read that. Now, let me tell you, my whole life was about getting drunk. My whole life was about partying. My whole life was about clubbing. My whole life. And you're shocked because you're thinking, Steve, you're not even allowed to drink till you're 21. But in Australia, the legal drinking age was 18. And I was drinking in bars and clubs at the age of 13. I came across a lot older than I really was. You grew up in an alcoholic home, you learn how to fake it till you make it. And so I remember, you know, reading that scripture. And I went to some Christians and I say, what do I do with this verse in the Bible? What am I supposed to do? And some people said to me, Steve, if you drink beer, and of course that's what I used to drink. If you drink beer, it's like drinking the devil himself into you. You'll go straight to hell. You are not a Christian. And I remember as in my early days of being a Christian, going back to the bars and clubs and still working out my salvation, and I could see the devil's face in the froth of my beer. And all the fear of God it put in me. So I put my hand over the froth and still drink it anyway. I remember other people telling me, well, Steve, Jesus turned the water into wine. You know, the occasional drink from the Lord, nothing wrong with that. And others had different opinions and different voices. So then I did what I should have done in the first place. I went to my peers. I went to people who had varying opinions. And I went to my pastor. And I said to my pastor, Pastor, what am I supposed to do with this verse? I live for the weekends. To go into the bars and clubs. I love the effect alcohol has on my life. What do I now do with this verse that says he or she that gets drunk actually lives a life that is contrary to the wisdom and to the will of God? I notice it's very quiet in here, by the way. And so what do I do with this verse? And I got to tell you, he said something to me what was the best thing he could have ever said. He didn't legislate his conscience. He didn't try and pass on a hand-me-down theology. He didn't give me a second-hand revelation. Do you know what he said to me? He said, Steve, why don't you pray about it and ask God, what should you do, seeing how you read that verse in the Bible? Why don't you ask God? And he says, and by the way, come back and let me know what he said just in case. And so I remember praying about it. And of course, you got to realize that alcohol had a huge hold over my life and over my family's life. My mother and father were both alcoholics. My grandfather, two of my grandfathers died of alcoholic poisoning. They literally drank themselves to death. And so as I read that verse, I said, God, what am I supposed to do with that verse? And at that point in time in my life, alcohol had such a huge hold in my life. Do you know what the Lord told me? He said, Steve, you go ahead and get a glass of water, and if I turn it into wine, go ahead and have a drink. And it was the wisdom of God in my life. The sad thing about that, of course, is I understand that for some people, they can't even just afford to have one drink because it'll open a Pandora's box. And for them, they probably should learn how to live a life of self-control without alcohol because of the challenges they face in their lives. I will not be somebody that condemns anybody for choosing to drink alcohol, but I will be a pastor and I will be a voice to you to say, you better make sure you live your life above reproach inside the wisdom and the counsel of the Word of God. Can anybody say amen? And so I just want to encourage us here to understand there's a lot of voices out there and we need to be familiar with the voices of heaven. Can you say amen? Are you ready for this? I'm going to give it to you real quick. Write these things down. Here's the first voice that I believe that comes from heaven, and it's the voice of heaven is always founded in the Word of God. The voice of heaven is always founded in the Word of God. Listen to 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now look at me. All Scripture. Everything that's in, not just your favorite verses, the ones that you underline, but all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. How many appreciate good teaching in the house of God? But the Bible doesn't just say that all Scripture is useful for teaching, but it says rebuking. Sometimes as a pastor, there are times when I use the Word of God and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm challenging mindsets that are contrary to the wisdom of God. And all people love teaching and people love revelatory preaching and people love inspirational preaching and people love preaching from the Word of God that gets you inspired. But the Bible says you better have room in your life for the Word of God to rebuke you and to correct you. And don't you go get offended and go to some other church that preaches another gospel. Come on, somebody say amen. You see, the voice of heaven is always founded in the Word of God. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. As a brand new Christian, you're like that little child on a bicycle with training wheels. And the Word of God is there to help you, and it's training you with training wheels, giving you the ability to find wisdom and how to live a balanced life in Jesus' name. And let me just say this, God's voice would never contradict His Word. Boy, I've met some Christians that God's told them some funky things. Boy, I've met some Christians who they say, the Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me I'm to be a part of two or three different churches. God would never contradict His Word. Come on, somebody say amen. The Bible says, get yourself planted in the house of God, in an A house. Don't be a spiritual nomad. Don't have two or three different pastors. Don't have two or three different churches. I've had people who told me that the Lord told them they're to go in. Married men who've said to me, the Lord told me to go into nightclubs and dance in the discos. This is back in the days of the 80s. And go into the discos and dance with all the pretty girls because the church needs more pretty girls. And because I'm married, I'm okay to do this because He says I'm married. How many know the wisdom and the Word of God would never contradict? The voice of heaven would never contradict the Word of God. The Lord told me I can divorce this person. The Lord told me, and don't get me wrong, there are times when marriages can and do end in divorce. Come on, somebody say amen. But if you got no grounds for divorce, you just think, I just don't feel it anymore. You're not supposed to live by your feelings anyway. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, the Lord, I tell you, I get close to Jesus. I heard one person tell me that he goes down. This is literally a true story. I had one person tell me they go down in Perth, Western Australia. They get down to the ocean and there they look at dolphins who swim in the water. And when the dolphins open their mouth and go like flipper, how does flipper sound? Literally this person, a pastor of a church, told me that God speaks to him through the dolphins. That he actually has the ability to understand dolphin language. How many know there's no scripture in the Word of God that says go to the ocean and listen to the dolphin? See, God's voice would never contradict His Word. I've had people tell me, well, the Lord told me I don't have to tithe. Well, that's probably not the Lord. That's a demon. Or that's your flesh. That's another voice. God would never contradict His Word. I know somebody who talked about how the devil is the power of the air. And so they believe that actually the devil is transmitting and broadcasting through radio waves, through technology. And the only way to repel the voice of the devil is to wear a tin hat. This is a true story. I know people who did this. And they wore tin hats that actually were able to repel radio frequency so the power of the air couldn't get in your head and you wouldn't be demonized with demonic thinking. And literally a church with thousands of people all went out and brought tin hats. How many thank God the voice of heaven would never contradict the wisdom? See, the Bible says you just got to learn how to renew your minds. You don't have to go wearing a tin hat. You don't have to be the tin man. All you got to do is understand that God has given you the power to renew your mind. Let me say, the voice of heaven is always founded in the Word of God. So how strong are you in the Word? Number two, the voice of heaven is always revealed by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, revealed by the Holy Spirit. The voice of heaven is always revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's always found in the Word of God, but it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. And look what Jesus says in John 16. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will only speak what He hears. And He will reveal to you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, listen to this, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. And all belongs to the Father is Mine. And that is why I said, the Spirit will receive from Me and will make it known to you. So the voice of heaven, number one, is always founded in the Word of God. Number two, the voice of heaven is always revealed for the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says here, is a divine eavesdropper. He listens in on the conversation of the Father and the Son. He will not speak of His own. He doesn't have a voice of His own. He listens to the conversations of heaven. what the Father and the Son are talking about. And then he goes and he whispers in your ear. He whispers in your spirit what the Father, and he will not speak of himself. I get so concerned when I see people almost worship the Holy Spirit more than Jesus, more than God. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He doesn't want the focus to be on him. He's only trying to reveal what the Father and the Son are talking about. And some people are chasing the Holy Spirit and chasing the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going, it's not about me. It's about the Father. It's about the Son. And I want you to know what they're talking about so you can know the will of heaven, the knowledge of heaven, the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit reveals. Come on, somebody say amen. The voice of heaven is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Let me just say, that's why I believe every person in Wave Church should be filled with the Holy Spirit and should have a prayer language. Every person, every single person in Wave Church should be filled with the Spirit and actually have a prayer language of the Spirit. And if you don't have it tonight, we're going to make sure we give people the opportunity to receive prayer and the laying on of hands, that you might receive the prayer language of the Spirit. How can you know the voice of the Spirit if you don't actually pray in the voice of the Spirit? I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying it sure helps in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Number three, I've got to move quick because we want to pray for people. The voice of heaven is always heard in God's house. That's a moment for you to get excited right there. The voice of heaven is always found in the Word of God. The voice of heaven is always revealed by the Holy Spirit. And number three, the voice of heaven is always heard in God's house. Listen to what Jesus said. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. What's Jesus talking about? What he's saying, upon this rock, which was the rock of revelation, of knowing from heaven who Jesus is. And now that you know who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are. And upon that rock, the rock of revelation, I will build my church. Let me tell you, the voice of heaven is always heard in the house of God. It's literally proven that people who go to church on a regular basis, not those spiritual nomads that go to church once a month or once every 2 months, but people who are planted in the house of God, it's literally proven that your IQ is higher by going to church regularly. Well, how can that be? Because you're hearing the wisdom of God, the Word of God being brought to you and taught to you, and you're learning how to live life and how to overcome all the challenges of life. How many believe that God's Word brings wisdom and revelation? How many can say you've got a better marriage if you're married because the wisdom of hearing the Word of God? Come on, somebody say amen. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. How many can say that being part of a church and being regularly planted in the church, that your faith is strengthened by being in the house of God? How many can say that you've learned principles from the Word of God concerning your business and your career and your vocation, and your life and your business is better for it by being planted in the house of God? Come on, put your hand up and you can say, that's me. I've learned principles from the Word of God that have helped build my life, build my marriage, build my business, actually given me better ability to have relationships in the world in which I live. You see, the voice of God is always heard in God's house. If you kind of think, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, you are committing spiritual suicide. I know I'm talking to the choir tonight, but just in case you're one of those people that's visiting, I have one moment to help you to realize that God's voice is always heard in his house. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, and God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching, foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. See, the Bible says that God chooses the foolishness of preaching. Come on, somebody say amen. I know some people who say, oh man, a spirit-filled church, a church filled with spirit, there's no time for preaching because the Holy Spirit moves all the time. Let me tell you, God would never contradict his word. The Bible says here that God chooses the foolishness of preaching. If preaching is not a central theme in a church, you need to run from that church. If that church is all about just laying on the floor, falling under the power, but there's no preaching of the word of God, if it's just all worship, if it's just all ministry, you need to run from it. But God's word would never contradict. God's voice would never contradict his word. Preaching ought to be a central theme of what it is to be a part of a local church, because God chooses the foolishness of preaching to cause those that are lost to be saved. Come on, somebody say, how many thank God for anointed preaching? Come on. The voice of heaven is always found in the word of God. The voice of heaven is always revealed by the Holy Spirit. The voice of heaven is always heard in God's house. And listen to this, number four, singers, musicians, you're already there. Come on, they all sat down, didn't you? Come on, get back up on your feet. Where's the choir? Let's get the choir back up here. The voice of heaven is always heard in our spirit. Do you know the Bible actually says the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit? Did you know that? The Bible says, listen, that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Did you know, for instance, that says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his spirit, the spirit that searches all things. Watch this, even the deep things of God. The Bible says the deep things of God calls to the deep things of man. The Bible says out of your most inner being will flow rivers of living water. Out of your spirit, man. Come on, somebody say amen. The spirit bears witness with your spirit. I want to close out this message with one simple story. Many years ago, back living in Sydney, Australia, as I was very accustomed to doing on a regular basis, I would go home from work and take maybe an hour to go for a prayer walk after work. I would often at times take Josh, my son, with me. Sam was too young to walk that far. And so I remember taking Josh with me, and Josh used to ride his little push bike, and other times he would kick his soccer ball, and I would take our dog. I had a Waimarana, beautiful dog, a gun dog. It was an awesome dog. We flew it over from Australia with us to America. It had an Australian bark. And I used to take this dog with me, and I would go walk and pray, and Josh would be regularly a part of, just, you know, I wouldn't say, come son, I'm going to teach you how to pray and seek God. I say, Josh, just kick a soccer ball, ride a bike, and it was a good time to just hang and spend time with him as I did it. And I would just talk to God, just walking. See, prayer is talking to God. And I can't tell you the many things that God has spoken to me and revealed to me in my spirit through his Holy Spirit on those prayer times. I can't tell you thousands upon thousands of things, words of knowledge, insight that God gave me just by taking time to seek him. And God would actually testify. His spirit would bear witness of my spirit. And one day, I really felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to go now, go home and spend some time with your son, Josh. And I'm thinking, this seems a bit strange. And I went and spoke to my boss at that time. I was pastor of a church in Sydney, and I spoke to the senior associate pastor. And I said, listen, man, this is going to sound really strange, and I hope you know I'm not goofy, but I've never asked for this before. I hope I never ask for it again. But would you mind if I left work early today? And just because God told me, I still had to submit it to authority. Come on, somebody say amen. And if that person said no, I wouldn't go home. Some of you need to get that revelation. It's very quiet. He said, go for it. I went home, said, Josh, come on, man, let's go. And so I got walking. Josh is riding his bike. I didn't tell him that God spoke to me. I didn't tell him there was anything big going on. But I was kind of curious to know what was going to happen. And Josh actually was a very young man with aspirations to be a great soccer player. And he was having some real challenges with the coach and with the parent and one or two people and, you know, just getting quite discouraged and almost was about to quit the whole deal of soccer at the time. And I didn't really know just the magnitude of how serious that was at the time, except for one of the parents threatened to, you know, beat me up. And I was actually had a broken foot at the time. And I'm thinking, yeah, real hero, threatening to beat up a guy who's got a cast in his foot. And just a funny story. And so, you know, we're walking, I'm praying, and Josh just says to me, and he's riding his bike and he stops and he says, Dad, somebody keeps calling my name. And I looked at him and I said, really? He says, yeah, somebody, I hear a voice. And this is what he said. Dad, it's right in here. It's in my gut. It's in my belly. So he didn't know. That's what the Bible says your spirit is. The deep things of God calls to the deep things of man. Out of your innermost being, out of your gut, out of your belly, out of your spirit. That's where it is. And I said, Josh, it's cool. Ride on. See what happens. He rides on. He goes, there it is again. Dad, what is that? I had a clue that maybe God was beginning to speak to my son, Josh. I said, Josh, ride on one more time. See what happens. He rode on. He goes, Dad, it's loud. He says, I understand there's a voice calling my name, but that's all I understand. And I said, Josh, the next time that happens, you just need to say, God, I think this is you trying to talk to me. And I just need you to help me, not just to understand you're calling my name, but what it is you're trying to say to me. He said, next time you hear that, Josh, say that to God. And so he rode on his bike a little bit further. I'll never forget, he hit the rear pedal, braked, slid out. And I heard him talk to God. Hey, God, I think this is you. I think you're trying to talk to me. I could hear him. And if that's you, help me understand not just the calling of my name, but what it is you're trying to say to me. And then I stopped and stood just to give him a moment. And all of a sudden, he looked back at me. Where is Josh? Are you here tonight? I think he should be somewhere in the building. Do you remember this? And he goes, Dad, I got it. I said, what'd you get, Josh? Let me know, I'm curious. What did God say to you? And he says, God told me, don't quit, don't give up. And God was speaking to him about his football aspirations. Let me know, God cares about the stuff you care about. God in heaven spoke to him and said, come on. Little did I know that football aspiration carried him all through his elementary and all through his high school, that kept him focused and passionate about sports, where he didn't get distracted with many other young men with temptations of the world. He stayed true, and God put something in his spirit at a young age, and the deep things of God calls to the deep things of man, and the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. God, give us a church full of people who know how to hear from heaven without getting flaky, without getting weird, who know the voice of heaven. Come on. Come on, everybody, stand your feet, everybody. When God called Sharon and I to the pastor of the church in Virginia Beach, God spoke to me in a dream three times. God spoke to Sharon and said, this is the moment. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. Will you step up to this challenge? Naturally speaking, Sharon was weighing up a whole lot of things, understandably. Her mother and father, our children were their only grandchildren. Family was close, and we had great connection with family, with my family, with her family. But the voice of heaven spoke. And even though Sharon in the natural was scared and resistant, God spoke to her and said, come on, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. And thank God we came. Thank God we heard the voice of heaven. Thank God we stepped out in faith. Amen. And I got to tell you, there are times when only that voice is the thing that sustained us. There's been times in church life where it's had its challenges. There's been times in church life where thinking, are we ever going to get there? Are we ever going to break through? And just when you feel like things are going great, something blindsides you from the left or to the right. Somebody who you once loved you all of a sudden takes offense with you. And you're thinking, dear God, what's going on? The only thing that has sustained us has been, we know we are here by the knowledge of the wisdom and the will of God. And no matter what happens, we're going to stay true to the call that God has put in our lives in Jesus' name. Come on! Come on! So when another voice comes, Steve, would you consider pastoring a church here? The answer is no. I've heard the voice from heaven. I know where God has established me. I know the base of Wave Church is Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads, East Coast of America. But I know Wave Church will have an influence globally, locally, nationally. But I know where God has called us. I've heard a voice from heaven.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. For more teachings by Pastor Steve Kelly or information on Wave Church and our conferences, visit our website at wavechurch.com or contact us by phone at 1-757-481-5005.